Now, I hope you'll turn back to that reading in the Pew Bibles right at the start of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 as we can continue to go through these early chapters of Genesis together. The subject for this sermon is something really that we all like talking about ourselves. It is human beings, mankind, and how important we are. Just over 200 years ago, the British Parliament passed an act. It was the Act for the Abolition of the Slave Trade. The prime mover of that act was William Wilberforce, the leading evangelical Christian within Parliament. We need a lot more men like him today. And Wilberforce argued that African slaves were men made in the image of God, just like any British white man. It took years for his argument to be successful. He suffered spiteful attacks in the newspapers, and two slave ship captains threatened his life, so as he had to go everywhere with a bodyguard. But eventually, on the 23rd of February, 1807, the slave trade was abolished. The Hollywood film Amazing Grace is worth watching, and it tells you all about it. But Wilberforce's respect for men and women came from his evangelical faith and from Bible passages like today's reading. And over the past couple of weeks in church, we've been reminded that God is the creator, something very basic, but a crucial thing to believe. The rest of Christian faith flows from it. There is a creator. And today's message flows on from that. It is that God eventually created his masterpiece, which is us, humankind. Now, the main subject of Genesis 1 is not us. It is God. This is God's world. He has made it. But he has created us, and us alone, in his image. You are not the product of blind chance, with no more meaning than slime mold. You are not a lucky throw in a cosmic game of lottery, floating through space with no meaning or purpose. You are not just a piece of meat either. No, God has deliberately created his work. He has set his stage, and he has introduced his main character, man, in his image. No other image of God is allowed in the Bible other than this image. Please look with me just at verse 26 to see this, which is a verse that also describes humanity's particular role in the world. Verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and over the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God makes man on the sixth day. Believe it or not, we are the climax, the pinnacle of his creation. And I want you to know today that you are very special, the most special thing that God has ever made. In a world of insecurity and low self-esteem, God says that you are like him. You are made in the image of God. It's an absolutely astonishing truth. Each one of us in church this morning, each one of the people that you will meet this week is made in the image of God. Now, of course, his image has been marred by sin in our lives, but there's still no one who lacks it. And that is why we should not enslave or abuse or thoughtlessly kill our fellow human beings, even if they seem weak or hopeless. It's why Christians feel so strongly about the unborn child, for example, and about the disabled, and about the elderly and those with terminal illnesses. Every person on this planet, whatever their condition, is someone to be respected. They are very special. They are made in the image of God. Being made in the image of God means that we're not just another species of animal. But if you cross God out of the picture, if you cross Genesis out of the picture, that is what you get. And some philosophies and animal rights extremists promote just that, that humans are just animals. And you and I become really no different to bacteria or flies or rats, which we get rid of when they disturb us. But no, put that way, we can see how crazy it is to think that man is just another animal. No, the Bible says that man is like God. How are we like him? Do we look like him? No. Are we the only animal to walk upright? Are we like him? No. Are we the only animal to be self-aware, to be able to reflect on who we are? Is that what the image of God means? Are we alone creative, like God in Genesis 1? I mean, what other animal can create music or a painting or a skyscraper? Mankind can create a symphony. Man can create a meal. What other animal can cook? I suppose that, yes, we more than anything else reflect God's creativity. The difference is, of course, that God creates out of nothing, while we always have something to begin with. We also have morality. You cannot really talk about any other animal having morals. But we usually know what is right, even if we don't always do it. God knows what is right and wrong, and we are made to live like that too. We are made in his image. Speech and language. Perhaps this gets us closer to what it means to be made in the image of God. Yes, some animals communicate in a very basic way, but not using words, not using an alphabet. But the reason we have speech is to be able to relate to others. And this is the first of two main ways in which we are like God. Two main ways, both of which are here in our short passage. The first main similarity that we have with God is that we can have relationships. And then the second, which we'll get to in a moment, is that we are made to rule. So relationships and rule. First, let's think about relationships. Man is like God because we relate to one another. It would be tragic if man was alone. True loneliness is a devastating experience for any human. Friendships and family are crucial. And that's what verse 27 is telling us. God made us male and female. Woman is similar to man and yet different. And that makes for a good relationship. Marriage is good because it is God-given. And even though it is sometimes better for a Christian to be single, remember Jesus himself was unmarried and single, all human beings need to be able to relate to others. God creates humankind for relationship. And this is one main way that we are made in his likeness. God is a God of relationships. You maybe notice there in that verse 26 how God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." God speaks of himself as us, and that is because, although there is one God, he is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God relates within himself, Father to Son, Father to Spirit, Son to Spirit. He knows about relationships, and he made us to be like him. In fact, being made in God's image means more than just being able to relate to each other. Being made in God's image ultimately means that we can relate to God. In the whole of Genesis chapter 1, man is the only creature that God speaks to, verses 28 to 30. He does not speak to the animals. He speaks his word to us. We are spiritual beings. God is spirit, and we are made in his image, so as we can relate to him, so as we can commune with him. And we're meant to commune with him for all eternity, unlike any animal or plant. I mean, I suppose you could say that plants have bodies, and you could possibly even say that animals have a kind of soul, a personality, a character. But really, only mankind has a spirit to be able to relate to God with. And only man can therefore be aware of God. and be able to commune with him. We can relate to God. Now, sadly, in Genesis, later on in chapter 3, we find the fall of man. And so because of our sin, we no longer commune with God properly. That is how mankind is today. We live on this side of the fall. We are born without a good relationship with God. God wants us to commune with him, but the only way that we can properly relate to him is by having our sin dealt with, becoming Christians. And actually, the only way we can properly relate to each other is also if we are Christians. There's only one man born this side of the fall who still had unaffected the image of God in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. You see, so when you unite yourself to Christ by faith, you begin to have that image of God, God's image restored in you. The image that was ruined by the fall and by sin, but Christians have united themselves to Christ, and so we can begin to relate properly again to God. God created mankind in his image. He created us to relate to him. Not because he needed our friendship. He does not need us. He wanted us. He wants us. He wants you. And he's demonstrated that twice over. Once by making you, creating you, and then secondly by sending his son into this world to die for you. When we were alienated from him by the fall and by sin, he loved us. He sent Jesus to save you and to bring you back into that relationship with him for which you were made. And so you see, you're doubly loved by God. Coming back to Genesis and to these early chapters, we could think of creation as being a bit like a theatre. The stage has been built and the scenery has been set up. The actors are ready at the end of day 6 here. But what does the director, capital D, the director, ultimately want? Well, if God is the director, he wants us to relate properly to each other in his world. And he wants us to relate properly to him, obeying him, serving him. We're in this world for more than just staying alive. We're here to relate to each other and to commune with God. And we can do these things because humanity is made in God's image. There's great dignity in being a human being. So the image of God is displayed in human beings through our relationships. We're in God's heart. We're at the heart of his creation. But we're also at the head of his creation because God's image in us means that we're meant to rule his world. God has actually made us to be kings and queens of his creation. Long ago in the ancient world, a king might set up his statue in different parts of his kingdom or maybe in a land that he's just conquered. Do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel and how he set up his golden statue? And by doing that, he was declaring himself to be Lord over that territory. The statue or the image was saying that he was king, even when he was not there personally. His image was saying that he was ruling there nonetheless. So when God creates humankind in his image, he's saying that we are his statue. We are God's image. Mankind's presence in this world is indicating that God, the king, is here. Let's have a look at how Genesis shows this in verse 28 this time. Remember, God has created man, male and female, and then verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So a very clear way in which we reflect the character of God, we're made in his image, is that we rule. God is the ultimate king of this world. After all, he made it with all its amazing amazing details. He owns it. But mankind is privileged to be his prince, his prime minister. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Winston Churchill's death, our greatest prime minister, I suppose. But mankind is God's prime minister. We are his deputies. And so we've been given this opportunity to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over all the earth, because that's what God does. And we are his representatives here. He has appointed humankind to supervise and look after his world. We're to oversee his creation. Now, on the one hand, that means that we can sensibly enjoy it with all its beauty and goodness. We're in charge of all the world's resources. We can mine for coal and drill for oil, and we can fish in the sea and in the streams. We can farm the land. We can rear cattle and livestock for food, because God has made us to supervise and look after his world. We are in charge, but always under his authority. So we have to remember to honor him and obey his instructions. Because on the other hand, we do not have a license to abuse God's creation. We're not to exploit the world so much that it warms up, for example, or so that its rivers and seas become polluted. And sadly, that's how sinful man tends to treat God's creation, to selfishly get as much for himself as he can, whatever the cost, crossing God out of the equation and saying that man's in total charge without reference to God. No, man is supposed to rule the world under God's authority, but instead we tend to usurp God's rule. We tend to take complete control. And that's because no one likes to be told what to do, least of all by God. And so we rebel against him in lots of different ways. As I say, we'll read about the fall of man in a couple of weeks. And since that fall, we all prefer to shake our fists in God's face. But the trouble is that rejecting God's rule makes a mess of our world, because we start competing with each other. We start trying to rule each other and end up even being ruled by the creation. Anything but be ruled by God. No, since the fall, mankind does not exercise his rule properly. We have a responsibility to God to care for our environment. We have a responsibility to care for our families, to care for our animals, our pets and livestock. And we have a responsibility to acknowledge that God is the ultimate ruler over everything we have. The problem is that far too often we worship the created things of this world rather than the Creator. We become fixated with the gold and silver of this world, the buildings and cars, the material things that God has given us. They begin to rule us rather than us ruling them and using them for God's glory. And we need saved and rescued from this fallen attitude of worshipping idols. When we're not worshipping God, we're worshipping his creation, being ruled by it. And that is idolatry. But let me draw to a close by asking a simple question at the end of our sermon this morning. It is this: what is a real man? What is a true woman? From Genesis chapter 1, we've learned that we are made in God's image. And that makes us special. We resemble him as creative, speaking, working, moral beings. But ultimately, being made in God's image means that humanity is made to relate and to rule. We don't do it very well because of the fall. God's image in us has been marred. Well, Jesus came to fix that problem. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true man, a man perfectly in God's image. And that image was never marred by sin. He lived a faultless life. He displayed God's image perfectly. All his relationships were perfect. And he rules over God's creation perfectly from heaven. He died and rose again and now sits on the throne. In fact, this is how God planned it from the beginning. He made the world so as this one man could rule it, Jesus Christ. We need him. We need to unite ourselves to Christ by faith, to have God's image restored in us, to relate properly again to God and to each other. And when we trust in Christ, one day we will rule God's world again the way that we were designed to, as kings and queens. So what is a real man? A real man, a real woman, is a Christian. Someone who has started to be transformed back into God's image once more. The process will only be complete on the last day, but in the meantime, Christians are becoming more and more like Christ, the perfect image of God. Well, let us pray.